Today on The Grave Talks, Love, Acceptance, and the Spirit World, a conversation with Rob Guttrow and Monique Toussoun. Rob Guttrow and Monique Toussoun met over a pet reading, and it blossomed into a friendship filled with ghostly adventures. Monique shares her experiences of ghost hunting and drag, a bold choice that not only turns heads, but also stirs up some spirited reactions from the other side. Rob delves into the emotional world of pet mediumship, revealing how our beloved pets can communicate from beyond. Together, they explore the energies of haunted locations, the innocence of child spirits drawn to Monique's big heart, and the profound lessons they've learned from the afterlife. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation that's as entertaining as it is enlightening, where the veil between the worlds is lifted with a dash of glamour and a whole lot of heart. Our guests today, Rob Guttrow and Monique Toussoun. How did the two of you meet?
We met originally at a Paracon in Massachusetts called Mass Paracon, which was hosted by a mutual friend, Sam Baltrusis. And I kind of stalked Rob the first day of the Paracon. I was kind of just like, I found out he was a pet medium and I had lost a pet. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got to meet this guy. And then he did like a little bit of a lecture. And then when the lecture was over, I'm like, I got to find him. I've got to hunt him down and get his information. And I ended up signing up for a pet reading that day.
Well, and Rob and I did a show, Pets in the Afterlife, and it was really emotional for me. I think I cried three or four times that day. More than once, I've sent Rob an email like, oh my God, this just happened to me. I know it was a sign for my dog. And Rob's always so nice about that. So thank you very much for indulging me, Rob.
Yeah,
I cried too.
Definitely tearful.
You know, it's just, and to meet someone like Rob, that's powerful because, you know, when you lose a pet, you need that connection so desperately. It's like losing a loved one. Right. And to have someone who has that ability, it's just validating. And it helps you process your emotions, I think. So we've actually done two episodes. We did the Pets in the Afterlife. And then we did another one, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation.
And yes.
And I find it so fascinating because, you know, for you, I can go on vacation, and I think we talked a lot about Ireland in that episode. In England, mm-hmm. I could go on vacation there, and I can pick up, like, I can walk in some place and go, ooh, I can feel something here. You experience it in a much different way than I do. Like, you would turn the corner and see things and stuff. So vacationing for you would be great and kind of intense all at the same time.
It's both, but I do get personal history lessons from actual dead people that lived at different times. So
I don't know if I would like that or not. I guess it depends on who comes through, because you could run into some real asshole dead people, I would think.
But so after Monique and I met, we arranged for a reading for me to connect with her dog. And we did that. And actually, Monique has a show on YouTube. And I joined her to talk about Pets in the Afterlife too. And then she had me back after I did the reading and we went over it.
And it was just so sad. I cried my ass off the whole interview.
You can't not.
Yeah. Pets are emotional. I feel like sometimes in some circumstances, like especially with people who are of LGBTQ, you know, we tend to treat our pets like our children. Mm-hmm. I do have a child as well, but before I had a child, my pets were my children. So, you know, this was my first dog as an adult that I ever had on my own, and just emotional. So when I had saw that there was going to be a pet medium at this Paracon, I'm like, I've got to make sure I find this guy. I'm going to stalk him. I'm going to sneak into the backseat of his car, whatever I got to do to get this reading.
Did you find it validating and helpful in your grieving process?
Absolutely. And it made me open my eyes a little bit to some of the cues that I was getting from my pet in the afterlife.
It's funny because Rob did the same thing for me through an episode. Like, he didn't give me a reading, but as we talked, I think we, in general, as people, we dismiss things sometimes that we should see as signs, but we don't. We need someone like Rob to go, oh, that was the sign. When I kind of knew that they were probably signs, But it's so nice to have that confirmation.
And I feel now, like now that Rob has told me things to pay attention to, specific things, I think I've opened up a little bit more to the pet side, and I've definitely been seeing random stuff out of the corners of my eyes around the house. I'm definitely more in tune with myself now too, now that I'm paying attention to different things that he's told me to. Like today I saw out of the corner of my eye what I thought was my dog that had passed, and all the other dogs were in the kitchen with me, so I was just kind of like, oh, maybe I did just see him.
Right?
And, you know, now, like a little visit.
Monique, how did you get interested in the paranormal?
So I actually, when I was a child, I had a really scary psychic experience in my mom's house. And I woke up on the floor and I was kind of terrified that I woke up on a floor and didn't wake up from a fall to the floor, especially when I slept on a bunk bed and I had touched something that wasn't human. And I think I kind of scared myself out of it. And then in my 20s, I was like, I need to go back to this and see if I can figure out what that was. And I started learning how to, you know, I started taking courses on mediumship and stuff like that and started getting really into the paranormal stuff. But it wasn't until COVID that I started ghost hunting and drag. And that came about because I lost bars, you know, I lost clubs. I couldn't perform somewhere. So I'm like, I got to do something in drag to keep myself, you know, in remembrance of how did you make up and to do all this stuff, because you lose touch with it for so long and then it's almost hard to do it again. So I went ghost hunting and drag during COVID for the first time. And the first night I went, I got an EVP that said, he's a lady. And from that moment on, I'm like, they sassed me. They were all about it that night. I got wig, heels, lashes. It was just a really crazy night. And it was at a place I'd already investigated. So I was like, I didn't get this result the last time I came.
That is so interesting, because I would think spirits would find you very confusing. Not all of
they
them.
They certainly do. I've done a mental institution in drag, and we kind of got the feeling that I was being led somewhere in the men's corridor. And when we were in this men's corridor, we're like, why am I getting so much attention right now? And it turns out that we were led to a room, and this was at Sweet Spring Sanitarium. And we were led to a room, and we found really large women's clothes in there, like tall. So we were assuming that maybe I was led there by a crossdresser who was possibly institutionalized for crossdressing.
True. Could have been. Absolutely.
Yeah, so kind of a weird trigger object that I never thought I had. And then I started doing it and the attention started coming in, because I'm pretty sure I'm the only ghost hunting drag queen in the entire world.
I've never heard of another one.
Yeah. So I'm kind of an anomaly, which is good. And I guess it's bad at the same time, because I'm getting as much attention as I am hate. So
some people are going to respond really well to it. Other people maybe don't. But, you know, my thing is, if you don't want to go see a drag queen, don't go see a drag queen. If you don't want to be on a paranormal investigation with a drag queen, that's fine. You don't have to. Just be quiet about
it.
You know, you don't have to spread
on,
hate.
Mind your business.
But I find it so interesting that you do that. And I think that, you know, the spirits, it could be for you, maybe not. But is it sometimes kind of a little scary? Are you getting any kind of dark energy from it? But I mean, you know, honestly, paranormal investigations can go that way anyway.
Yeah, and they
so
don't go
any. So you can't really know.
Yeah, they don't really go any further into the scariness. I'm really not afraid of anything that I've come across yet. So I'm one of those people that goes ghost hunting and I'm like, oh, where's the demon? I'm going to go say hi. Like, you know, I'm about to walk right up to it. I have a healthy fear of it, but I'm not afraid in the moment. Like, I'm a curious, curious person. So I'm really trying to learn everything and, you know, just see what all energy feels like. And I mean, I know I don't want to cross boundaries, but, you know, I like to push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah. So, Rob, after the pet reading that you gave Monique, then you guys just kind of became friends. And have you done investigations together?
Yeah, it was we became instantly friends. And we did do an investigation. It was my first time working with Monique. And she is the consummate paranormal investigator professional. Knows how to ask questions, is super respectful of any earthbound ghost, is able to run a public tour so she has the public participate and get involved and also add to the investigation. So if there is anyone that I would want to investigate with again, it would definitely be Monique, because ultimately the consummate profession.
See, because in my head, I think of this paranormal investigation with Monique would have an aspect of, a little performance in it as well. But what Rob just said, you pretty much just stick to the investigation.
It has a little bit of comedy into it. So
Okay.
one thing I had somebody say to me that really stuck out, and it never leaves my reviews. And it was one of my clients who's bought her 17-year-old son ghost hunting, and he kind of got picked on by his friends about it. And they were like, "Why aren't you going ghost hunting with a drag queen, man? That's so weird." And she overheard him talking during this conversation, and he had said to his friends, "Are you kidding me? That's the best part, because anytime I get really scared, she says something stupid, and then I start laughing, and then the fear goes away." And so that kind of just stuck with me, because I'm like, I am doing pretty much the same thing everyone else is doing, but I'm throwing myself into a location as a crazy, unique trigger object that nobody else has. So I'm also flipping that investigation over, because things are going to be completely different when I'm there.
Because it would be tense. I totally get what he just said. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and Carol, I have to say that on that one investigation we went to, there was some not nice entities, and one of them really adversely affected someone, which, I'm going to just leave that there. But Monique and I recognized that quickly, and we moved out of that room. We moved this person out of that room to protect her. I have never been on a paranormal investigation where that has happened before, but working with someone who is so in touch with everybody that's there is also really, really important.
Do you guys kind of both have mediumship abilities? Because Rob really does. Do you have any of that too, Monique?
I call myself kind of a small. I'm really learning things lately. In the past few years, I've really tried to hone in on it and really open myself up. But I tend to get things and I can't really explain how it happens. I'm not somebody that is definitely in the same genre as Rob. Rob is incredible and can describe in full details what he's seeing. And I tend to get more basic stuff right away. And then I have to kind of ask questions and use equipment to get the rest of those answers. But I have noticed that I am really sensitive to children. So typically, if we're going ghost hunting somewhere and there's a ghost of a child in there, they're going to come to me.
And Rob, one thing that I found with some of the stories, because I was reading from your book, Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead, An Answer Guide to the Paranormal.
Yes.
You can find that on Amazon. But one thing that you kind of get like a headache first sometimes before you have the experience, or is that how you sense that there's something near?
Yes, yeah, that's it. So, because in my books I explain how ghosts, earthbound ghosts, are and spirits, the ones who have crossed over, the difference between the two of them are both energy, coupled with memories, personality, and knowledge. And because they're energy, and thoughts in our own brain are energy, their energy affects the energy in my head, and it gives me a headache.
Does it vary in levels of intensity as far as who might be coming through?
It's typically the same kind of dull headache,
Okay.
but when people will ghosts, by the way, will also convey their the way of they died. And if someone was hit over the head, I will of course get a more massive headache. So they share pain of death with me, and
That part would be terrifying to me because we talked about this before. Because is it a feeling or am I having a medical emergency? I think there's a
Exactly.
fine line sometimes.
Yes.
So you are probably pretty good at knowing, okay, this is not a medical emergency. Here's what it is. Where I would be like right off the bat, gotta go to the ER. But you can tell the difference.
I can. It's almost like it's kind of, I don't know, masked. It's not. It's kind of a hint of the way that they died. So sometimes, for instance, I felt heart attacks, and I will get like a heaviness on the left side of my chest, Or when I was in England, I actually felt something like a sword go through the left side, my right shoulder rather. And I knew that nobody was there. And I thought, okay, well, that's what a sword feels like going through your shoulder. So
Which would
I
be
wasn't scared. I
the
was just,
weirdest
oh.
feeling to me. It's like,
Yeah.
because I don't know what a sword would feel like going through my shoulder. I don't want to ever know. But now
Yeah,
you know.
I do.
It was it was it, when that happens to you, is that really painful?
It's more startling, and
Okay.
it made me fall to the ground. And of course, my husband's like, "What's the matter with you?" And I
Let
said,
me
"Well,
tell you.
there was a guy that was murdered here by a sword."
You must have gotten more information about this situation so you knew it was a sword.
Yeah, they basically visualize, let me visualize what happened when they make me feel those things.
So you actually go out investigating sometimes, which in to me it's like you're just asking for it, Rob, because
Yeah, no kidding.
you know what I mean? It's like you're going to be presented some really interesting scenarios, and you don't even know what you're walking into. Even, you know, like we were talking, you were in England and, you know, sword in the shoulder or other experiences. So you don't even know what you're walking into. I would think it would be kind of terrifying for me. How do you, is that kind of exciting for you, or you're more curious?
Honestly, Carol, I don't even think about it.
Oh, look at you.
It whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm protected because I usually surround myself with like white light, positive energy, and so forth. It's just when I go on vacation, I'm not really thinking about dead people. I'm just there to like see the sights and learn the history, and
And
so that's
then
why they're
boom,
able to
boom,
come through.
boom. And you learn the
You never
history in
know.
a whole different
Right.
way.
Never know walking into a location what you're going to experience until it hits you. And the thing is you could study a location and what everyone else did at that location and other investigation teams, but it can be completely different when you go.
Do you think too, because I was talking about that with somebody recently, when you do know too much, especially for you, Rob, you're bringing that in with you. And then does that change your expectation of the location?
Yeah, it does for me, Monique.
For me, if I'm going in just with an equipment mind and not a psychic mind, it's great to know some things because then I know who I can try to talk to. Where versus where I just sit there and I'm like, who am I talking to? What's your, and I can skip a couple of questions and start asking for names of people. So sometimes it's helpful, but I do now tend to like to go in more blank-minded because I am trying to learn my sensitive side. So I don't really try to get a lot of history now.
When we went on that investigation, this investigation together, which we'll reveal next time, neither one of us knew the history of the place. We knew nothing. We knew nothing about the people, the history, anything that happened there, and anybody that died there. And then we wound up connecting with people that were
For
there.
a full investigation, which is very uncommon too, you don't normally have a 3-hour connection with a spirit, and we did.
Did you, when that happened, and we will be talking about this more in another conversation, so we could talk about that one specifically or other investigations. Do you find now with Rob, obviously you get the sensations and you can communicate without all of the equipment.
Yes, I use my head.
Yeah, literally. And Monique,
Yeah.
do you, is that the equipment, is that also helpful to you? And if so, what do you like to use on an investigation?
So on this specific one, I won't give too many details, but I have a lot of different equipment. I always come with some sort of radio, some sort of REM pod. One of each kind of device is usually good for me. But something I'm really fond of lately is heat and cold sensors, because they really can let you know how strong a presence is because they get brighter and lighter when it's really cold. And one thing that really helped was I was connecting to a child spirit, and we knew he was right on the other side of the sensor reaching out to me because of how bright the sensor got. And I could tell before the sensor started going off that there was a child coming, but I couldn't have told you much about the child aside from very few little details that I had gotten in my head. So the equipment for me was just the it's the way to confirm what we're getting. You know, it's like a second, it's a second note. You know, it's we got this and then we just confirmed it with our equipment.
You know, and I want to add this in that doesn't really necessarily have to do with paranormal investigations, I guess, but I love the fact that children are drawn to you, Monique, because especially with drag queens lately, you know, and reading books to children, like that's something horrible. I love that the innocence of a child sees past all that.
Yeah.
And they're drawn to you.
Yeah. And I mean, spiritual children for sure. But like I had mentioned, I have an 8-year-old son. I did a library reading probably 3 or 4 years ago. And that was one of the scariest couple of weeks of my lives. I got hate mail. I was getting a lot of negative press for that. And I ended up going and doing this event, and it was for teenagers, not even young children. And I got so many sad questions about kids whose parents didn't accept them. And they said they'd rather be dead than be at home. And it was such an eye-opening thing for me, because I always thought that things got a lot better since when I was a kid. And I had these same thoughts as a kid. And my parents always accepted me, so I didn't have it hard at home. But I had it really hard in school. And it was really nice to just be there for children and just be able to be like, you know what? Your parents may not approve of this, but when you turn 18... you can find yourself some new parents. You know, you find someone that loves you and that's your new family. And to me, that's such a huge thing. And I have a child who knows I do drag. He's 8 years old and he has zero negativity about it. He doesn't want to do drag. He's not being groomed. He could care less of the fact I do drag. And when he sees me leave the house, he's like, "You look extra handsome tonight, Papa." Oh, you know, and he's just like, he sees it as me going out and making people smile.
That is so
sweet. That's what it is at the end of the day.
But it's just interesting that of all the spirits that are drawn to you, it's the kids.
And Rob might be able to tell you a little bit of why that happens, too. A couple of people have told me a couple of reasons why, but Rob was another one.
What do you think, Rob? That kind of broke it down for me.
Yeah, well, it's really, you know, earthbound ghosts and spirits, they were just people or pets that have passed over. The ghosts stayed behind, the spirits crossed over. But what they do is, because they read our energy, they read our emotional energy, they can sense whether or not we are a good person or a bad person. Mm-hmm. And that's why they can choose whom they appear to or whom they talk to. And especially children can sense that Monique has such a big heart, is such a loving, caring, nurturing person, no matter inside or outside of drag, doesn't matter. And they don't look at the appearance, they read the heart energy. That's why all these children that are earthbound ghosts or spirits that have crossed over are so drawn to her, because they're reading her heart energy. And that's what really, that's a great lesson for everybody that's living. Read somebody's heart energy, not their appearance. Don't judge them by their appearance. Read their heart first.
I love that so much.
I do too. And I wasn't looking for a compliment, but thank you for that compliment.
But that's a really beautiful thing to say.
Well, that was one of the lessons I learned from talking to the dead. And that's why I wrote that book. You know, it's really about, spirits want us to love each other and care about each other, no matter what we look like, no matter how we act. They don't want us to live a life of hatred and intolerance. They want us to welcome everybody. And they're very sad in spirit. They're very sad when someone they're related to shows those bad behaviors. And that's one of the most important lessons from spirit that I've learned. Mm-hmm.
You know, people are different. We're all different beings. And I don't know. That's a whole different topic, but I just had to say that. I just think that's beautiful that in the afterlife they're drawn.
The world like pets do, like dogs and cats, because they love everybody and they accept everybody. And we can learn from our pets and from our young children how to be better people.
And your pets pick up on that energy.
Absolutely.
You know, you can watch your pets, and if they're not okay with somebody, it's like, is that really the person I want to be dating? My dog does not like him. And I think that, you know, look to the pets and see how they react. I think you can get a lot of information about people.
Carol, it's funny you mentioned that, because when I met my husband, he had a dog, I had a dog. And the two dogs bonded instantly and became the best of friends. And I said, okay, well, this is a sign that we actually need to be together. And we've been together 20 years.
See, you look to the pets, and the pets are totally awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some different investigations you guys have done. And Monique, would you like to go first? Do you have a favorite investigation you've done or one that you came away with like, that was not what I was expecting?
For me, I think the one of the craziest places I've ever been is West Virginia State Penitentiary. And I was supposed to go back there this year and do it for the first time in drag. I didn't do it in drag the first time I went. And I was supposed to go back and we ended up rescheduling it for next year. But I've never been in a prison before that one. And it is true what people say about locations. The different locations carry different energy because of the people that resided in these locations mm-hmm. when they were running. And a prison energy is so different than anything I've ever experienced. And the best part about it was to me is that they were inmates. And they were either going to be playful or they were going to be mean. And when we were there, they were very playful. But at one point, nothing like this has ever happened before with when I've investigated. But at one point, we decided to split up. And I think there were six of us. And we decided to get in different cells, all in the same cell block. And there's one cell there that's very famous. And it has like a ton of like Satan drawings in the thing. It's got like all this creepy graffiti in it. And so my friend Nora decided to go in this thing and she had a chest camera on and a couple of little things in her hands. And she put the things on the bench next to her and she sat in the prison bed. And at one point she goes to turn and grab something off the bed. And all we hear is a giant slamming noise. Ooh. And then her screaming and her running down the cell block. And it turns out that something kicked the bed up from under her while she was sitting in it and kicked it so hard that we all heard the bang and saw it on the camera and her chest camera. You could see all the paint chips flying in the air, everything that was on that bench, all her equipment flying. And we're like, and she's just running and screaming. But after we, you know, stopped running and screaming, we went back there and we're able to like try and play with that. But in that very moment, a camera died, like all this crazy stuff happened. And I've never been anywhere quite intense like that. Like, I've never had something kicked like that before.
Oh, my God. That would have scared the crap out of me. Because you're not expecting
scary,
that.
It's amazing. Because it's kind of what you go for, right? You want to be scared. But first you run, then you go back and, you know, you take assessment of what just happened.
Yeah, because you're not planning on that happening.
No, definitely
so
not.
Your reaction would be to run? Because
yeah, if we did for a minute.
Now, when you go into a place like that, do you make sure that you... Like, you take, you know, a recording device? Do you take spirit boxes with you? What do you like to take?
Yeah, so for me, I am an equipment nerd. I probably own like $20,000, $30,000 in ghost hunting equipment.
Shut up.
I have a lot of it. So I own everything, but I also know how to use everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you
that's
can't
one
take
thing that is
everything on every
no,
investigation
I usually
either.
Take about, you know, a toy box size container with me every time I go. And that is full of all my favorite tools, but laser grids, Phasma Box radio is one of my favorites, tripwire because it's like Christmas lights, always cameras, always recorders because you got to record everything and then go back through it after. But some of my favorite things are some of the cheapest equipment tools too. Like tripwire is not that expensive and it's amazing.
Yeah.
REM pods too.
And does it take a bit to set it up though, especially when you're going to a place like that?
It can take a couple of minutes. Each item requires, you know, a switch or whatnot. But things like tripwire have to be laid out. Cameras, we usually just, we set everything up as soon as we get there. And then we just carry the cameras on the tripods and put them wherever we are and facing us, wherever we're going to be. Or we put them in places where we know there's a large amount of activity on normal nights and let them record all night without us even in the room.
Yeah, and then go back and see what you get.
Yeah. And I mean, I really haven't caught anything on a standalone camera ever in any of the years I've ghost hunted. But there are things that are like weird about when cameras die or like, you know, like the camera that died at West Virginia State Pen was a brand new camera. And after that night, it never worked again.
Really?
And it died in the very moment that the cell was kicked.
Because I've heard of things like that, you know, the batteries die, but then once you leave, everything's working fine.
Yeah, this camera never worked again. We ended up getting a replacement for it by the owner. The owner was like, I've never heard of this, and replaced the camera because it had a warranty on it.
Now, Rob, you went to a place called the Book Escape. And
yes.
This was in Baltimore. And it's a yes. very unique bookstore because it's two older houses that they've turned into one store.
Yes, they merged two row houses, Baltimore row houses, into one store. And I just want to put this out there and let you know, Carol, that I am not as brave as Monique. I will not go to a prison.
I'll get you there one day.
I don't know if I could either.
You have to drag me.
I could go maybe during the day on the historical tour, but I just don't know if I could do something overnight. I just don't know. Because, and Monique, you did bring up a really good point, though, about the energy being so different. When you think about a location like that, mm-hmm. especially for someone like Rob, that would be really intense.
Because, well, now think about throwing a drag queen in a prison. What would happen?
That's
in a men's
what
prison.
I really want to know. You have to come back on after you do the next one in drag.
I want to do Alcatraz, too. That's like bucket list.
Alcatraz, I just went during the day on a regular old tour, and that place is creepy. Like, if you can feel it during the day with hundreds of other people, I can't imagine what it would be like. Can't imagine.
Yeah, prison energy is my favorite so far.
But I would
think you can tell me all about it, because I'm not going.
Because for Rob, like, when you think about it, the people who are there, you'd have some really mean, bad people. And
sure.
But then you also have the jailers who are very serious about it, and they're very connected to the jail, and they're trying to keep everything in order. There would just be this weird energy in those places, some really dark energy.
Yeah, so Carol, I think we talked about the Cork City Jail that I wound up going into in Ireland, because it's a museum, and there were, I think they met seven ghosts there, and you know, when people stay earthbound as a ghost, they maintain their personalities, good or bad. When they cross over in spirit, that's when they reform. That's when they realize what they did was wrong down here, and their personalities change for the better in spirit, across, you know, in heaven, Valhalla, whatever you want to call it. But earthbound as a ghost, if they're mean and they're in prison, they're still going to be mean and mm-hmm. in prison.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot for you.
It would.
And going back to your point, Rob, where they don't cross over sometimes because they're so afraid to cross over and what they face on the other side.
Yes.
A place like a prison would probably maintain a lot more ghost than spirit.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you just think about, like, the really mean, bad people in a prison. But then there's mm-hmm. other people that might not be really mean and bad. They did some kind of blue collar crime. I don't know. They embezzled.
And there are also, you know, there are also people who are in prison wrongly.
Yes.
And those people may also stay behind. So there may be some benign
possibly,
earthbound
yeah.
ghosts that are still afraid to cross over. But I would think more of the not so benign who would stay behind.
Well, they're the ones that you're going to pick up on, because the loudest voices always get through.
Yep, squeaky wheel gets the grease.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Rob Guttrow and Monique Toussoun. For more information on Rob, visit his website at robguttrow.com. And for more information on Monique, you can visit her website at moniquetoussoun.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.